with the technologies that exist today, we can actually go back and measure that compliance and actually see when things are happening on the farm. So for example, these people, that the technicians that are behind the sort gate, they essentially have the list on the phone and they're scanning everything that needs to be done to that cow, right? Once their tasks are completed, well, you can go back and say, okay, why did these three cows from this pen not get sorted, or why did they not get processed, or why didn't they, you know, end up on in the breeding rail? And so now there's tools that can actually help you measure that compliance, and then that compliance eventually leads to better performance.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Hi-D from DSM Firmenich optimizes vitamin D levels to increase milk yield, enhance calcium to phosphorus ratio, and strengthen immunity. With early detection in health, reproduction, and feeding, SmaxTech future-proofs your dairy operation. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com. Modern solutions for modern cows with AHV. Contact us to beat biofilm-related issues in your herd. Lallemand Animal Nutrition, partnering in microbial solutions for a changing world.
Hello and welcome back to the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. My name is Barry Bradford from Michigan State University. I'm excited to welcome to the show today Manny Salcedo, who is the president and founder of Dairy Performance Network, and also a key partner working alongside AffiMilk to bring data-driven compliance and performance solutions to dairy farms. Manny, thanks for joining today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we've never had the chance to meet before. Can we start off by maybe explaining a little bit what Dairy Performance Network is? What led you to try to start this company, and what you guys do every day?
Yep. So it started about in 2016. So next year will be 10 years. Basically, it was just I was a herdsman. I'd paid attention to a lot of the consultants that were coming to the dairy. You know, the repro guys, the genetics guys, the nutritionists. And so I noticed what they would do once a month, and I noticed their practices. And as a kid, I was, you know, I was 19, 20 at the time when I started as a herdsman. I would see what they were doing. And at the time I had a hard time not understanding why they weren't putting a lot of the data points together. So like the nutritionist had a certain KPIs that he looked at, the vet looked at certain things, and then our repro guy looked at the reproductive performance of the herd, right? And so I was like, well, why don't we use all the data points that we have together? And so at the time, I basically had this idea that, why don't I turn into a consultant? And so I started knocking on doors on some of the dairies in my area, telling them that I could help them put all of the technology and all the data points together. And so that's basically how we started it. It turned into, it was a consulting job for about 5 years, but it's evolved into something else now.
That's pretty neat. In what part of the country are you based in?
I'm in West Texas.
And I'm curious, did you grow up around there? Did you grow up around dairies? Or
Yep. I grew up on a dairy farm. Okay. So my dad, he was a vet out of Mexico, decided to move the family to Alaska for a couple of years. Yeah, because he found a partnership to go milk 50 cows. Turned out that they didn't like Alaska. So then we moved to Roswell, New Mexico, where he was a herdsman. And then eventually, you know, he moved up the chain and became a partner at a dairy there in Roswell, New Mexico. And then from there, he moved us to Plainview, Texas. And then that's where they built the dairy there in 1999. And so I went to high school there in Plainview, and then I eventually ended up working at the dairy. I wanted to be a computer science major. And so at the time I decided, hey, you know, why can't we combine cows and computers? And that's kind of how all this started.
That's amazing. And your timing was pretty good. If you started this company in 2016, that's right about when a lot of the Internet of Things was coming to dairies. Am I right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. A lot of the dairies at the time that I would stop by and basically cold call, a lot of them at the time didn't even, like, they had heard about the quote unquote Fitbits or the Internet of Things, but some of them didn't even have EIDs. right? And so it was like a perfect opportunity for me to get in there and help them basically install some of these technologies.
It makes a ton of sense to me. There's a lot of farms see value in like this tool, but maybe it's not always true, but a lot of people that like agriculture want to work with animals maybe are not innately drawn to figuring out tech, right?
So right.
If they can hand that off to somebody, I think a lot of people would be excited about that.
No, and then that leads you to other things, right? I mean, once you end up getting the technology, then you're dealing with computers, you're dealing with networks, you're dealing with a bunch of other things that they probably didn't expect, you know, because when you first hear about this stuff, it'll help you find your sick cows, it'll help you find your cows that are in heat, but then what's the infrastructure to get to that, you know, to get to that level?
The next giant leap in dairy profitability is here. Introducing AffiColler Feed Efficiency Service from AffiMilk, the first sensor to accurately measure individual cow dry matter intake. Combined individual feed consumption with milk production data to get profitability insights never before available. Hear from producers who are using it to make a big impact on profitability and sustainability at AffiMilk.com.
Okay, well, today I think we're going to talk about those kind of tools from the perspective of compliance. So maybe if you don't mind, we could start getting into that with you kind of telling me what you think that means to a dairy producer when they hear that word compliance.
So I think, it was something that wasn't really measured that well before in the past. Once you get into a larger scale farm, you know, where you're talking 10, 15, 20, 30,000 cows, and you're looking at the automation side of things, right? These cows, you know, they're going through a gate every day and they're sorting every day, right? Well, when these technologies first came around, there was a lot of paper that had to be passed down to the people behind the sort gate. So, you know, looking at a rotary, for example, the cow exits the barn, she hits the sort gate, and then she goes to a technician. Well, at the time, again, you know, you have a paper list of all the cows that were in heat, all the cows that were sick, all the cows that needed some sort of attention. And so you have these poor people just sitting there trying to check everything off, right? So that's one process. So if you think about that, they put it on a piece of paper, but then at some point, somebody has to go back to the computer and enter everything that they did for that day. And so a lot of things get lost in translation. Most of the time at certain places, and again, we've evolved in 10 years, but at some places you would take that sheet of paper, that person would then give it to somebody in the office, then that person would then enter it into the computer. Well, there's a lot of mistakes from point A to point B. And so now with the technologies that exist today, we can actually go back and measure that compliance and actually see when things are happening on the farm. So for example, these people, the technicians that are behind the sort gate, they essentially have the list on the phone and they're scanning everything that needs to be done to that cow, right? Once their tasks are completed, well, you can go back and say, okay, why did these three cows from this pen not get sorted, or why did they not get processed, or why didn't they, you know, end up in the breeding rail? And so now there's tools that can actually help you measure that compliance, and then that compliance eventually leads to better performance.
I was kind of laughing in my head when you talk about the sheets of paper. It's like, I mean, I run a research group, right? And so we have all these data sheets that we used to use a lot more. And it's bad enough to read somebody's handwriting, but then when there's manure specs all over it, right? Sometimes it's like,
yep.
What is this supposed to say? Yep. Yeah, so cutting out paper wherever you can, I think definitely helps a lot. So you said, you know, having that compliance, being able to find gaps and fix them, help with, I don't know exactly what you said, and basically it's helping performance and efficiency. Can you talk us through like one example to dig down into that? So, you know, if a cow's not getting bred, okay, obviously that contributes to inefficiencies, but are there some examples that maybe people wouldn't think of where, okay, we have a little bit of deviation and consistency in how we do this, and it leads to bigger problems than you might have expected?
Yeah. So for example, I can think of one example. So let's say today is a big timed AI day, right? Where you have, I don't know, let's say you have 150 cows to sort for timed AI. If we're not managing it right, we're not paying attention right, you know, those 150 cows have to get sorted and then they have to get bred. There have been times where those 150 cows don't get sorted on their timed AI day. So now you missed an opportunity simply because you spent all the money in enrolling her in all the shots. And then, boom, the one day you were supposed to breed them, you miss it. That doesn't happen anymore, but it has happened in the past. And where what would happen later on is, you know, somebody would then look at, evaluate the reproduction performance of the herd, and then not even realize that there was literally days and days on end where there was cows being missed for timed AI, right? And so that would be a problem because now that increases your days open, and it affects your conception rates.
Makes sense. Yeah, and they'd be maybe trying to dig into what are we doing wrong in terms of giving shots, or, you know, it's really just the technology in some cases.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they go down a rabbit hole of trying to see why they couldn't get cows pregnant, but sure enough, the cows weren't there for anybody to breed them.
No breeding is a pretty low success rate. You said, I'm going to ask you if this is completely true. You said we don't miss those cows anymore, and I've heard that the sort gates now have amazing success rates. Are you seeing really 99.5% compliance?
Yeah, and it depends on how you set them up, right?
Okay.
You're always going to miss 2%, 3%, but it depends on your protocols and what safety nets you have in place. And so we'll go in there and make sure those safety nets are in place. So if something does happen to that cow, we make sure that we get her the next shift, or, you know, she gets attended to one way or the other.
So, you know, we've talked about compliance, I guess, in terms of protocols and those kind of chores on the farm. What about humans doing their job consistently? Are there ways that technology is assisting in that?
Yeah, I would say so. So back to the, you know, the phone applications that they're using, basically you can then see, okay, that this animal was scanned at this time by this technician, right? So you can easily create a report saying, hey, give me all the cows that were either scanned or the tasks were completed today. And so then you can see who did what on the farm, right? And so for in this case, like, let's say in the log, we would see that cow sorted, and then she got scanned, but then the timing doesn't really match. That means she ended up in another area and not in the area that you need her to be, but somebody found her, right? So back to those safety nets that we were talking about, it's all set up to cover that. So if a cow, look, at the end of the day, they're animals, and these sort gates do work well, but they're breathing, living things, right? And they're smart. I've ran into cows that already know, like, I know of a cow now, I can think of a cow at a dairy that we've literally got her coded in the system as she will never sort. We have cameras on her. She will stop, look at the gate. Like, you would think she has a clock on her wrist. And she sits there and then beats the gate and takes off. And so she knows how to beat the system, right? She knows that once she goes there, that if she goes straight, she's either going to go into the breeding area or the sick area, and she never sorts. So basically, you know, you have to have an understanding that it's just, you're working with these animals and not everything's perfect, but, you know, the 98-99% that do sort, there are ways to say, okay, yeah, we are being effective in what we're doing.
You talk about these reports, and I've been on dairies of the scale you're talking about, but I don't work with them on a daily basis. You're in one of the most concentrated areas in the world for, like, dairies of the 10,000 cows and up, right? So I'm curious, is that becoming a key job of like a middle manager, or like, I'm the milking manager, I'm the breeding manager, something like that, and they're getting reports and dealing with how do we improve compliance?
Yep. And a lot of that is automated now, right? So we built apps for them. So like one dairy that I can think of, they have, they milk a lot of cows, but anyway, they have a reproductive basically manager, and he's the one making sure that, you know, the conception rates are high, for service conception rates are high. But basically after every preg check, they get an email telling them, hey, these are the things where we're where we're lacking. Is it compliance? Is it a conception rate by a certain bull? Is it conception rate by a technician, right? So every week he takes a look at this thing and then he gets with his team. And that helps a lot because like they've been performing very well now for a few years, but there's, you know, the manager and the repro manager, including ourselves, we're on top of it every single week, making sure that everything is being completed.
And I'm curious, you know, like as we get bigger workforces on these bigger dairies, those people that I call middle manager, whatever term you want to use, end up with quite a few people sort of that they're managing. And so, I mean, part of that skill set is learning how to be a leader, right? How to help people get better at their job. I'm curious, what do you see as the best approaches people use? Let's say they get a report on preg rates by different breeders and they have somebody that's sort of lagging behind. What do you see people do to try to help people get better?
They usually within themselves, within some of these organizations, within themselves, that they'll take the main guy and then send him, you know, to probably the guy that's not doing so well and have him, you know, spend like 3-4 days with him, a couple of weeks, and then they just kind of shift, you know. But other than that, you know, the systems have done a really good job of, you know, what's in front of you is more than likely something that you need to do. And speaking about like the labor force, a lot of the reasons a lot of farms have moved in this direction is there's not the old school cow guy anymore, right? They're not available. You know, my dad was a herdsman for a lot of years and, you know, I did it with him as well. And so there's still a few of us that really know cows, but the majority of the kids that are coming up, they don't have that experience, right? And a lot of them actually kind of got into the dairy with the technology already there. And so they never really got to see like the old school way of breeding cows or like, you know, back in the day, or still there's still dairies to do that. But, you know, you had to go into the pens, lock them up, go and find them. Well, now there's a generation of kids that got to the dairy. Well, all the cows already sorted for them. And so they get to the breeding rail and all the cows that are in heat are already there. And they never got to experience what I did where I had to go find her, chock her, breed her, you know. And so the game has really evolved in terms of how the people there's definitely a change in how everything is viewed at from a technology standpoint.
It may be less of your focus, but I'm curious how you see people using newer technologies to manage the milking centers. I mean, are cameras, are they using metrics linked to individual crews?
Yeah. We have a lot of dairies that use those technologies now, the AI stuff, you know, where they're basically monitoring the milkers and, you know, they're making sure that they're compliant as well. And so that's a really fun technology because, you know, we get to work with some of these dairies and sometimes our job is to go in there and work with the people actually milking. And so we use that technology to help the farm perform. And it's really cool to see, you know, dairies that were probably grading like a C and that are now months in using that technology and they're grading at an A. And it's really cool to watch because, you know, the milkers actually, really adopt to the technology and they actually, the culture changes a little bit, right? Because now it's a little bit more competitive.
So I'm curious about that because depending on the mindset of a person, could be you or me, somebody says, I'm going to put a camera up above your desk and make sure you're getting something done all the time, every day. You know, most people wouldn't view that favorably, right? So when you're the person sometimes putting a camera up or helping with that, how do you navigate that to help people see this is going to help everybody do better? It's not about Big Brother coming down on you.
Yeah, I think it's the culture and how you handle it, right? Yeah. When you put it that way, like I would be one of those of, well, I don't need a camera watching me work, right? Yeah. But I think if you change and shift the culture to make it a more of a competitive scene, look, the cameras have always been there, right? But this time, you know, essentially not everybody was sitting there watching the camera 24/7. Well, now with AI, they essentially are. But I think it just depends on the culture. There's some farms that probably don't have the culture and shouldn't have that technology. But there are some that really do have that culture of like this competitiveness and, hey, let's figure out a way to get better. And people actually go with the flow.
Okay, good answer.
Adiseo, a global leader in nutritional solutions and the provider of SmartAmine N, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production, capture more value from their components, and maintain their lifetime performance of their herds. For more product information and to calculate your return on investment when you balance your feed with amino acids, go to milkpay.com.
You know, we've talked about mostly two key centers, you know, the breeding area, the milking center. Do you see, are there some examples you can think of where, okay, here's our SOP, here's how we try to do things, but then you go actually look on a dairy and it's like a mile away from that. Do you have some examples there, or where do you most commonly see those gaps, I guess?
I do when certain SOPs or protocols are not set up properly. There's been times where, you know, the problem with a lot of these technologies is that sometimes it takes two or three people to kind of get everything streamlined.
Okay.
And depending on the softwares that they're using, right? So for example, one system might have its own software, but then the other system is talking to that system to send certain protocols over, right? So one person will do on their end, they'll set something up properly, but then another person on the other end doesn't set it up right. You know, back to what we were talking about, those timed AI cows, you know, I've seen it time and time again where the guy in the breeding rail is saying, hey, the timed AI cows aren't sorting. Well, he thinks it's the sort gate. Little does he know that the other software didn't send the right command to one software, and that's why it's not working, right? And so there's a lot of reverse engineering that has to get taken place. And so like that's one of the cases where everybody on the farm thought timed AI was Thursday. The guy in the back thinks timed AI is Thursday, but the one person that set up the command to send the cow through the sort gate set it up for Friday. You know what I mean? So we've ran into that a lot.
We kind of got that kind of ties into another thing I wanted to ask. So we've already alluded to the headaches that are caused by whether it be software or the actual physical system, you know, failing. You know, we may accept that it's never going to be 100%, but the further we deviate from that, the more of a headache it is, right? So what do you see when you look at different vendors and such? What's the key in your mind to somebody putting together a system that's accurate every day and closest to 100%?
I think it goes back just to compliance. If they can guarantee that we'll at least get 97% sort rates, then I like it. You know, I'm a big fan of automation. Like I think if you talk to a vendor that's only offering a system that tells you, hey, this cow is going to, you know, it's going to tell you that she's sick or she's in heat. Well, they all essentially do that. A good friend of mine has a small dairy there in Kentucky and he gets to play with all the gadgets in the world. And to me, they're all the same. But I think once you're into that 5,000, 6,000, size, you want to look at labor. And that's the biggest thing, right? And so, like, to me, I don't think there's a reason to buy a system that's going to tell you she's in heat when you still have to go lock her up and go find her when essentially the breeder can probably already do that. Yeah. Will it find maybe one or two more cows? Sure. But how do we automate that to shrink the labor or get the best labor in front of those cows and automate the dairy to where people don't have to go and do those jobs like we used to back in the day?
Particularly when you said it's not like there's another guy that's been around cows his whole life waiting at the gate to be hired, right? It's mm-hmm. the opposite. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
What about early detection? So you just said like all the systems pretty much can find sick cows early. How do you think about that? Do you really think they're all sort of equal? And then if so, do you value that?
Yeah. I think their algorithms are equal. I think some of the ones that get set apart. Are the ones that allow you to actually change the parameters.
Okay.
Right. And so, if there happens to be something wrong, I don't know, let me kind of break this down. But like, let's say they run into a silage pile, right, that has some mycotoxins or something. And all of a sudden, you know, these poor cows start dropping in rumination, right? And let's say you're milking 3,000 cows. All of a sudden, your average sick list is, you know, 10, 15 cows a day. But then all of a sudden it jumps to 300. well, how do you manage around that for the next 3-4 days, right? And unfortunately, in some systems, you cannot go in there and change the deviations or the algorithms. And so you're stuck with those 300 cows alerting you every single day until they finally stabilize themselves and get better, right? And so there is that one unique difference in one system versus the other that allows you to actually change the parameters at any given time.
That's a really good point. Like with any system, right? Like if you get an overwhelming number of alerts, it becomes kind of worthless, right?
Yes.
People either just give up looking at it or...
Yep, yep. Yeah, because you get these static alerts and then you can't do anything about it. You know, it's happened to me in the past. And a lot of them have changed their algorithms. But, you know, I can remember a Sunday afternoon where a guy that's milking 4,000 cows all of a sudden has, you know, 500 cows on the list to breed because they all started running around because we had some nasty wind in West Texas, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if he doesn't call me, yeah. So if he doesn't call me and at night, and I don't jump into the computer and adjust the list for him, he's in a bind, right? And so, unfortunately, there's still, you know, softwares and systems today that don't allow you to do that. So in that case, that guy would have been stuck and be like, "Well, I guess I just got to go turn off the sort gate." You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Your partner for extra animal performance, Bergen Schmidt Animal Nutrition. Our Yeast 40, ruminal and intestinal double modulation by ICC Animal Nutrition. Accurately measure individual cow feed efficiency with the newest advancement from AffiMilk. Visit AffiMilk.com to learn more. That's AffiMilk.com. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Exalit, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Evonik Animal Nutrition, sciencing the global food challenges. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together and the first ingredient in animal diets. Priority provides a more cost-effective and easier approach to nutrition. We recognize that not all bacteria are created equal. The specific strain truly matters. Priority IAC selects unique strains to provide the best performance in animals, and that's why we call these strains smart bacteria. Founded by Richard Brunig, helping to improve animal health one herd at a time.
I could talk about this for a long time, but we better ask you the big three questions everybody's waiting to hear your answers to. So first of all, do you have a favorite dairy book or resource that you turn to frequently?
I usually go to Progressive Dairy.
Okay.
Yep. Whether it's the magazine or the online publications, but that's usually where I go to.
Kind of see what people are talking about today.
Around
the country. Yep. Yep. All right. What about a favorite book or a resource outside of agriculture?
Ready Player One. Oh. I enjoyed that book. I didn't like the second one so much, but I liked the book, and then I liked how they turned it into a movie. But Ready Player One is probably one of my favorite books.
It's nice to hear somebody actually approving of the movie. Usually when people love books, they hate the movie adaptation.
Yeah. I happen to like the movie.
All right, last question. In your opinion, what sets successful dairy professionals apart from those who are not so successful?
I think honesty. I think if the professional's honest with themselves and with the client, I think that's what sets a lot of people apart. It's just honesty. You just have to speak the truth, you know?
I like that. No blowing smoke with you, huh?
No.
All right. Well, Manny Salcedo, thanks so much for joining us on the Dairy Podcast Show today.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for having me.
Really enjoyed hearing your perspective on how bringing more consistency and good data into the mix can make compliance feel less like a task and more like part of the routine. And it's interesting to see how systems like those from AffiMilk are becoming part of everyday toolboxes for dairies, aiming for better accuracy and smoother operations. So this has been another episode of the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. If you haven't subscribed yet, be sure to do so, and we'll catch you next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.